Today's daf in Shvi'is Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed He. So, we've been talking about the question about Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah made this distinction between one crop trees or two crop trees, and in that case, where exactly would we say that the din, it wasn't clear what he was saying. But what he said was that there's a difference between the two crop trees, and Rabbi Yochanan made a comment that the minhag has been like Rabbi Nechemiah when it comes to charuvim. Okay, but Rabbi Nechemiah said, in general, if you have a tree that brings one goren, so then the halacha is something that we're very not used to believing, which is that even things that came out before the time, meaning Bepashas, before Tu Bishvat, they go according to the next year, because otherwise we're going to be ending up with this mess up of having some of our fruits from before and some of our fruits from after. And as we talked earlier, when we were dealing with the sugya of the special halacha that we made, Legabe Hashrosha, when it came to the dinim of legumes, and we said there was a special dinim, we have a right to change it because it's really a chiv that's only been rabbanan anyway. So in order to avoid the Torah's hakpoda on taking out from one year to the other or having more than one maaser a year, so then we pushed off everything to be after. That's what Rabbi Nechemiah said. Okay, then we had the whole discussion with Rabbi Reish Lakish asking Rabbi Yochanan about how we could be nayeg like Rabbi Nechemiah when it comes to charuvim. That was the whole discussion. I think that was the last thing that we had done. And we had two different approaches to Rabbi Nechemiah. We had the approach here in the Yerushalmi, and that is that basically what it is that we're going to do is we're going to make it dependent on the shlish instead of making it dependent on chanot. So that way it would come out that everything would actually be chayav afterwards, because by the time the tree has grown to the shlish, so then it's already going to be after Tu Bishvat, and we won't have to worry about the parts that were nechanot before. We had a completely different explanation, remember, which we brought here in the Yerushalmi, and we said in Bavel, Taman, in Bavel, they say that no, he didn't change the question from chanot at the shlish. He changed Tu Bishvat to Rosh Hashanah of Echad B'Tishrei. And that is the reason that it would turn out that even things that were actually going to be earlier, fine, but they'd still be after Rosh Hashanah, so they all end up being in the same year. And that way he didn't, so remember, there's always two possibilities, because we always have to talk about two parameters. What is the time of the year that shifts between the chiyuv of the Meiser from the previous year and the Meiser of the next year? That's what's considered to be the Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah li'ilanot could be Tu Bishvat, or for these types of ilanot, it could be Rosh Hashanah v'Echad B'Tishrei. Fine. The other parameter is what level of development of the object that requires Meiser is considered to be the year in which it was formed, right? Okay, so now note that the logic of the situation, it's very important to take into consideration, that the Gemara said, where the heck did we come up with the deal of Tu Bishvat anyway? I mean, it doesn't say anything in Torah about Tu Bishvat. So the idea of Tu Bishvat, as the Gemara has explained over there in Rosh Hashanah, was because Rov Gishmei Shana are completed by Tu Bishvat, which means what? The Pashtas, it means that Rov Gishmei Shana, that's going to be where the Chanata comes from, because that's most of the sap and the energy that the tree has, and therefore it's going to be Nogea, the din of Chanata. Now, it's a little bit strange for us to say that he would hold that Rov Gishmei Shana have something to do with the first shlish, and then that we don't have to worry about the next two shlishim. Because that the Gemara is going to discuss that issue. But we do have two very different possibilities then. We could say that Rabbi Nechemiah was talking about a change in Tu Bishvat, and that it was adjusted to Rosh Hashanah, and that was the approach in the Bavli. And we could say that he changed the shear of the chiyah from chanata to shlish. Okay, this is getting clear in our minds now. As these sugyas develop, they become more and more powerful, understandable, and we understand the number of levels of elements that need to be taken into consideration in the parameters. Fine. Now, the question is, today, that we have yet another possibility, and that's Rabbi Yassa. Rabbi Yassa said, you know what Rabbi Nechemiah was saying? He was saying both are changed. Now, that's logical, because once you're going to say Shlish, then you have to ask yourself, what does Shlish have to do with Tu B'Shvat? So if you're ready to change to Shlish, so then forget about Tu B'Shvat, and then just go back to the normal Rosh Hashanah for Meiser is considered to be Rosh Hashanah, Avecha B'Tishrei. That, says Rabbi Yassa, that's exactly what happened. That since Rabbi Nechemiah had to adjust anyway, so therefore what he said was, in the case of those type of trees, Hevi Shlish Kodem Rosh Hashanah Shel Olam Mitaser L'Shava. And if it's Liach Rosh Hashanah Shel Olam Avecha B'Tishrei, Mitaser L'Ba. Fantastic. Okay. Now, the question is that Rabbi Zira raised against what Rabbi Yassa was saying is that, well, then you haven't really necessarily dealt with the problem, you know? Because the reality is that Panim Shah Shanam Afilot, it certainly happens that it takes time, and this is like in terms of the overall maturation agriculturally because of the temperatures this year, because of the rainfall this year, that it happens that the Shanaz Ma'afilot, and this is, it takes them longer than usual to reach maturity. In those years, and that means that what we find is that actually we only get to a stage where they start getting big, and that's matilot sa'or, meaning it's like as if they're fermenting internally, and they're starting to swell. And that happens only achar Rosh Hashanah, but everyone that I know of all over goes according to the actual chanata anyway, and we still take off from the year before. So how do you explain that? Omer Rebbe Zira, actually, thinking it over, I realized that I shouldn't be complaining to Rebbe Yassa. Because women died there for Rebbe Yassa, Omer Hadam Yilza. The fact that Rebbe Yassa was saying that Rebbe Nechemiah has to agree that it's Shlish, he didn't make that up. I mean, okay, you know, because basically the whole discussion between Rebbe Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we said before, we didn't understand why Rebbe Yochanan was Mekabel, Reish Lakish is Tainatim from Beno Shoach. Well, basically, he was just going according to what we figured out from over there. Because why were you asking for Beno Shoach about Chanata? Because they both had agreed that it was actually Shlish. So all that Rabbi Yosef is doing is he's being more intelligent. He's saying, look, I'm not making this up. That comes out from the discussion we had before. Now the question is, okay, once you're ready to tell me Shlish, I'm just saying, is it logical to say that the point of the Shlish is Tu B'Shvat? Or it's more logical to say that the point of Shlish is Rosh Hashanah? That's all. I'm not making things more difficult. I'm just making things more logical. But, I mean, you're going to have to go back to the original problem with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish to try to figure out how we're going to deal with all of the various years. Actually, there's yet another explanation. And that's Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha B'Shem Shmuel Bar Abba. Is that, as far as I see it, is that we should just stick with Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And I'm saying that the focus here is on Shlish. There's no need to change the Tu B'Shvat issue. Hevi Shlish Kodem L'Chamishasa B'Shvat, Mitaser L'Shavar, which you all just agreed was evident from the original conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And the Shir is Shlish, but it's Li'achar Chamishasa B'Shvat, or before Chamishasa B'Shvat. Fine. Omer Rabbi Zeir, now hold on a second. I was just explaining, you know, that it made more sense to say that we should go back to understanding that if we're going to make a difference, you know, what you're saying is, which of the parameters will we address in order to correct the problem of having the same tree present us with two sets of fruits? Which are the parameters? Is it more logical to address the parameter of what the Rosh Hashanah of the year is and turn it into Rosh Hashanah? as opposed to Tu B'Shvat, or is it more reasonable to adjust the parameter of when the fruit is considered to be ready for defining as a fruit and change it from Chanot to Shlish? Okay, that I think is an abstract question, because there may be different ways of adjusting. I just want to look at the parameter. Give me the name of the parameter, not the actual halacha of the change. Well, there's a very famous case of a changed parameter, and that's the Esrog, okay? Now, the Esrog, what did we do when we had a problem with the Esrog? The Esrog stays on the tree from year to year, so it raises the same issues, right? What did we do for an Esrog? Did we change when the Rosh Hashanah is? No. We changed what the parameter of Chiyav is. We said, instead of going according to the Chanata by the Esrog, go according to its Lakita. Why did we choose Lakita? Because, like the Gemara said, Esrog is similar to an Elon, but it's similar to a Yerek, because it's Gadol al Komayim, and so on. Fine, okay, I'm not comparing this to an Esrog. But all I'm pointing out is that when you change a parameter, the parameter is not when the new year is. The parameter is at what point the fruit is considered to be a fruit of that new year. So by the Esrog, we changed it to Lakita. Over here, and we were Mevato Chanata. Over here, we're Mevato Chanata, and we changed it to Shlish. So we should still keep the same new year, right? So just Akare Etrog, Akarta Chanato. So you took away the standard, which is, let's look at the stage of Chanata, but you didn't take away the year, Lo Akarta Shanato. You didn't say, let's change the new year for Esrogim. We could have done that too, but we don't do that. And therefore, here, you should do the same thing. So, v'kan, akarta shnato, v'lo akarta chanato. I mean, the way you're understanding it is that we changed, according to the way you're understanding it, at least to the way they did in Bavel, that according to Rabbi Nechemiah, they only changed the year, and they said that it's basically still going to be chanata, but its year is going to be different. I don't know. I mean, I find that very difficult. It makes much more sense to say, let's be oikir the chanata and make it a din in the shlish. And that's the only difference. Says Rabbi Bon Bar Chia, Kameda Rabbi Zeira, but you're creating a big problem. The big problem is that shlish is irrelevant to Tu B'Shvat. I mean, if you're talking about chanata, then Tu B'Shvat makes all the sense in the world. Because the beginning of the development of the tree is its chanata, and that would be defined, the fruit, I mean, is it the chanata, that would be defined by the sap that is currently in the tree and that is bursting forth now. That's what chanata really means, bursting forth. Okay, so then I understand I'm going to define the entire nature of the development of this fruit is going to go according to when it burst forth. Now, if you're talking about shlish, well, shlish is not bursting forth. Shlish is the amount of time that it was still growing on that year. But why would the shlish that grows in one year affect the two-thirds that are growing in the next year? That doesn't make any sense. Chanata would define the entire structure of the pre because it's the bursting forth into the growth process of a fruit. But growing already one-third, I mean, so now let's look at the next two-thirds. Okay, let's take the first third, and it goes according to its year. Now let's take the second two-thirds, and it goes according to its next year. And that makes even more problems, because then we end up with the same fruit being partially a product of year one and a product of year two, or in the case of Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani, product of year two and year three. That's ridiculous. See, you're making things much worse. I don't understand the logic of this. So me'ata, shlish ha-rishon l'shavar, and the Shnei Shlish, the Shlish HaSheni, and the other part, it should be in the next year. So what's the logic in this? Says Reb Zira, I see that you don't know too much about botany, you know. The Shlish HaRishon is kosher lavo. Mikivan shuba miyad hu gadel. It's not true what you're saying. There actually is a burst of activity. And the burst of activity continues on from the Chanata through the first third. It takes much more to get that done than the explosive growth afterwards, which all came from that initial explosion. That's the point. So the Shlish HaRishon is kosher lavo. Once the Shlish HaRishon is over, miyad hu gadel. And therefore, it sounded the least bit illogical to attribute the entire fruit to the first burst of growth in the first third. Omer Rabbi Bo, man, oh man, let me tell you, this Rabbi Zahira must have gotten his degree from University of California what was the one that gave those, where the guys graduated from?
In Davis,
right, okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's the botany degree, man. He's really up. Kaoris Uman Yalaflora Vizira. He's like an expert over here, you know, in doing all of these sharecropping. He knows his botany. Shmuel says, yeah, you know, you can actually see this. And forget about the question of the fruits. I mean, I'm not that kind of art, but I can tell you that you can see in the development of leaves, you see the same idea. Shitin yuma, shiti alia. Shita yuma, shitin alia. It's like people say, the first 60 days from when the season begins, you know, you get at the end of 60 days, you got maybe six little leaves that have started to blossom and so on. But in the next 6 days, you get 60 leaves. Okay, it's the same idea. So there, obviously, it's not a concept of chanata, but the idea is the same. It's very sweet. All right. And we also actually have a braita that makes this clear. And this, the braita goes like this. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, mehotza'at alim. The ad hapagim, from the time that you first have leaves growing until the point of pag, which is chanata, it takes 50 days. We're talking about pagin as the very first chanata of the figs. And min hapagin, the ad hashitin hanovlot. So when the stage where we're talking about, where we call it, this word novlot is very strange, and the Gra changes the girsa to bochalot, because that's the shear that we used before, bochal. And we said bochal, that's the shear that you're able to take that fig back home. It's no longer considered to be immature. So from the case of the pagan until the shitin abochalot, which is a better girsa, I think, like the Gra, is chamishim yom. And then minashitim novlot, Adateinim is chamishim yom, and Rebbe says kulo arbaim yom. But the point is that you're going to need what Rebbe Zira said is that the first third takes just as long to grow, even though it's like very slow, and the last ones that grow much more rapidly are going to grow in the same amount of time. So that I think backs up Rebbe Zira's contention. Now, the question is, by the way, just in terms of the logistics, how are you supposed to know? You pick a fig, okay, you have no idea. So now, you're not sure whether this thing was already chanut before Tu B'Shvat or after Tu B'Shvat. How are you supposed to know about when to take off, which maaser to take off? Reb Yonah, look, what you do is that if it just was right now, in other words, you've been waiting to pick this fig, it's not quite ripe. You go out there every day. Wow, I can't wait to get my hands on this fig, you know, and you squish it every day to see if it's ready, and you get it just as it ripens. Okay, so now if it's just as it ripens, that would mean that we could use this braita to tell us how to figure out when the chanata was, because what you could do is you count back 100 days, unless like Rebbe, 80 days, but you would count back 100 days, and then you would get the pre-chanata, the day pre-chanata. So if that comes out from before Tu B'Shvat, so then you know. Im chalat tochen chamisha b'sar b'shvat. So if it's within the past 100 days, it's there, you've got this Tu B'Shvat, then you can figure out that the chanata must have been the last year, before this Tu B'Shvat. If Tu B'Shvat is not within the last 100 days, so then you know that it goes according to this year. Fine. Now, as far as that last strange machlokas was concerned in the Mishnah, which was the question about the parsiot. Now, we weren't sure what those even are. As I mentioned, there were three different approaches that I know of, one of which is that it's a type of fig, and one is that it's a type of date, and one is that it's a completely different mean that is similar to some of those meaning. Anyway, so we said over there, the machlokas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, well, they only mature in the second year, and therefore they're only going to be usher, not during Shemitah proper, but during the year after Shemitah. And the Rabbanan said, the only fruit that we gave the din of Kedusha Shviyas after Shviyas was Benot Shoach, which is in the second year after Shviyas. We do not have a din of those fruit that get Kedusha Shvias in the year after. So there's a braita that discusses what they said one to another. We talked about this in the Mishnah. Amr lo, v'hare imcha b'tveria. Listen, said the Chachamim to Rav Yehuda, you've got these parasiot that grow in Tveria. And as you know, sot l'shana achad. They can have fruit in the same year of their chanata. Well, that's all very nice, but we have parsiot growing by you guys. You guys grow fruit up in Tziporin. And Barnea has reported that in Tziporin, things are cooler. They don't grow as quickly as they do in Tveria. And actually takes them the second year. So it's a very strange machlokas. There's some going according to the ones that grow in Tziporin, and some are going according to the ones that grow in Tveria. I mean, you must admit that that's a strange kind of thing. There's a very interesting Tiferes Yisrael who actually talks about this in the Yochin itself, in his Pirush on the Mishnah, and he says that it could be that the issue over here is whether it's a milsa de shchicha or a milsa de lo shchicha. Because basically, these parsiot, their main place of growth, they're endemic to Poras, which is why they're called parsiot. So parsiot grow in Eretz Yisrael. But they're not that mutsu. So the shayla is, should we be geyser to be machmir, that even where they're in Eretz Yisrael, they could easily have been in a climate where they mature in the first year, should it be geyser one agav the other? So that's what he's saying. Listen, you know, it's not matzui over here. The Chachamim don't make gezeiros in something that is a milsa de lo shchicha. It's a very creative kind of approach. I mean, it's interesting to come up with it on your own. None of the Rishonim even mentioned this kind of thing, but I think it's very creative and kedai to mention. Okay, everybody, that's wonderful. Our Daf and Yerushalmi, whew, Baruch Hashem. I'm pretty sure that we didn't do this before and that this was a good presentation of our Daf. And I'm very grateful to you to be Mizakami, to be able to learn with you. It's so much of a zechus, so much of a pleasure. Thank you so much. Bezrat Hashem, may we be zechet to Besuras Teves in our renewed milchama, and only Yeshua Hashem to be semechan, to be mekava for Kerev Hayim. Kol Tov, everyone.